Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome once again to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. It's great to have you along. Appreciate the opportunity to get together and have a good conversation about important issues that affect faith and life and how we can apply biblical principles to daily life. That's always kind of one of our baseline goals. What can we do at Faith Radio to help apply what God's Word says to live it out day by day? And one of the ways, of course, that happens is we carry a wonderful array of gifted pastors and teachers in our teaching programs, and it really provides some encouragement from week to week between Sundays, as it were. But we do want to just focus particularly on those men and women of God who are making a difference week in and week out, serving as pastors. It's October, Ted.
Yes.
Clergy Pastor Appreciation Month. We're in the middle of it.
That's right. Yeah. A little extra thank you to your pastors. We should be doing this year round, of course, and take the time to express our appreciation. And we are getting a lot of submissions. Thank you for that. I'll just share one if I have time here.
Yeah.
Kara wanted to write in for her pastor, Sam, and she says that Pastor Sam shares his time between two churches. And she says, we so often forget the amount of self he gives to our community. That can be a busy time, splitting congregations like that. And she says she knows that Pastor Sam is living and breathing his passion for Christ, and we want to thank him for being a shining light example.
You mentioned submissions, what we're doing, and we have a great contest. I don't know if you call it a contest. I guess we're having a drawing this month.
Yep.
Thanks to the folks at Sunscapes Retreats. They're giving away a week-long retreat for a pastor and their spouse for a name that we'll be drawing here at the end of this month, and you simply buy a signing up and registering your pastor, he has an opportunity, he or she has an opportunity to win. So you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, for more details.
A seven-day retreat in beautiful Colorado, all expenses paid.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
That is a very nice, that's a great way to honor your pastor and start a church and nominate yourself.
Yeah, right. It might take a little more than that.
Maybe so.
Although we are getting some submissions of other pastors, too, that have only been there a short amount of time, seeing the numbers double. Just a lot of great ministry happening out there.
By the way, if you are a pastor, you can nominate yourself, right?
I think so,
rule against that.
Yeah, you can go ahead and do that. MyFaithRadio.com. Go for it.
Check it out. Pastor Appreciation Month's going on all this month, and it'll be a great opportunity to encourage your pastor. I want to encourage pastors and leaders and really all of us to be more intentional about how we live. That's a passion of my guest today, who enjoys helping people, leaders, and organizations pursue more intentional lives. Craig Sider is my guest, and he's serving as president of the New York City Leadership Center. It's a Christian organization that serves as a change agent for leadership and collaboration across Metro New York City. Now, one of the reasons that we're talking to Craig today is because the New York City Leadership Center is going to be hosting an annual event coming up here next week on the 23rd called Movement Day. And we're going to find out more about that and why it's important. But Craig is involved in a number of different ministries and outreaches, and we're going to just have a great conversation. We talk about particularly about urban ministry, and you might be listening in some rural part of our upper Midwest and go, well, what does this have to do with me? But the fact is that cities are really the change agents in our world. I mean, they drive a change in culture, in business, in politics, and just about every other way, economics. So we're going to find out about that. Craig, president of New York City Leadership Center, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Neil, it's my privilege to be with you today. Thanks so much.
I know that you have a business administration, economics degree. Did you was pursuing leadership and ministry? Is that something that you wanted to get into? Or, were you a pastor at one point? Or how did you get to where you are today?
How in the world did I end up where I am?
Yes.
That's the question, yeah. Well, I grew up in southern Ontario in Canada. And my dad was in ministry, but we also had a family business. So I had this appetite for the business world, and that's what I got my degree in, as you said, business and economics. And shortly after I was in the work world, God kind of nudged me towards seminary. So I went to Asbury Seminary. From there, planted a church in Toronto, Ontario, was there for 11 years, formative, just a formative experience. And then moved to Pennsylvania, was in our denominational leadership for a decade or more. And then just a year and a half ago, came to New York City to serve as president of the Leadership Center. So God has taken me on an incredible journey in the last 25 years.
You know, it's, you know, again, most of us here all across the upper Midwest, I mean, the Minneapolis, St. Paul at, 3.5 million or so, that's, I think, probably the biggest city. I mean, the good-sized population areas, but nothing like New York City or major cities around the world. What is it about sort of major cities that makes them so influential? Is it just the sheer volume of people?
That's a really good question. As I said, I grew up in Ontario, three brothers, so there's four of us in our family. We all grew up on a farm, and all 12 of our children collectively live in cities. So that just kind of reflects where the movement is. I mean, because I grew up where I did, I have such an incredible respect for those who live in the country and work on farms or more rural settings. But what we say is every 30 days, a San Francisco or a Singapore, they're each 5 million population, every 30 days, a new city is being born. And by that, we mean 5 million people move into cities every 30 days around the world. And so there is this, Neil, this global movement towards cities. And then in turn, cities shape culture. And we believe that gospel movements shape cities, and that leaders catalyze gospel movement. So we're really interested in leaders. To your question about the, you know, the impact of New York City, I just saw last night a friend from Ontario who's, you know, my age. He's a father, and he's standing beside this lipstick stand with a picture of a model in the middle of the stand, and the model is his daughter who lives in New York City. And so there's this ripple effect in all kinds of culture ways that comes out of a major city like New York and just has impact across the U.S. and really around the world. So we say if we can catalyze leaders in a city for Christ to advance the gospel, it too can have this ripple effect kind of around the world.
But I guess that's maybe always been the challenge, or maybe not. I mean, has you know, a city like New York, have there been seasons, you know, over its history where it has actually had a Christian, maybe there's been a catalytic influence of the church and Christianity. I mean, we, you know, have the sense now that cities are, you know, pretty secular, maybe, you know, even using the word sinful places.
That is true. You know, 150 years ago, there was a revival in New York City that started with a businessman who called some other business leaders to prayer, and the six became 30, became thousands, and it started really this revival across America. And that started right in the heart of the financial district in New York City. But it has ebbed and flowed. 20 years ago in Manhattan, you know, we say sociologists tell about 0.5% were followers of Christ. In the last 20 years, that's moved to 3%. So it's grown by, you know, a significant amount. And we believe it can grow to 10. And that's really happened through a strong effort on church planting in the heart of the city to really see men and women become followers of Jesus and ripple out from there. But certainly over the decades, you're right, Neil, it has ebbed and flowed in a city. But when a city becomes this place where it's obvious that Christ is alive, it too has a ripple effect all in its general area and then from there really around the world.
You talk about, I think you use the word tipping point, and so is that 10% or more? Is that a key percentage, a key number in terms of the kind of influence the church can have?
Well, certainly, you know, Jesus is aware that regardless of what the percentage is, believers can have an impact one by one. We kind of talk about gospel movements, and that is happening when it seems like the Christian population in a city is even growing faster than the general population, and local churches are really reaching new individuals with the gospel, and ministry and community leaders are linking arms together to care for the youth and the poor and the marginalized, and citywide networks mobilize around prayer and connect these leaders. And then it really becomes this tipping point where the voice coming from the city, certainly not the only voice, but a voice coming from the city, is the message of Jesus, of lives are transformed.
Yeah, it does take collaboration, though, doesn't it? I mean, as you described it, you talked about, you know, there's working together, which, you know, the church probably, despite being the body, we haven't always done such a good job of actually being together as one.
Yes, you're right, and I pastored a church planted. I really should nominate myself as you were talking with the individual beforehand. But you know, I pastored. I just came from lunch with a pastor here in New York who's been here more than 16 years, and his heart is really to collaborate beyond his narrow theological stream across the city, and that's really when a city becomes alive with the gospel. Is when Reformed link arms with Baptist, link arms with Anabaptist, link arms with more charismatic expression, and we say, you know, we're all the body of Christ together, and we're going to collaborate together. We're going to collaborate together with ministries in a city like, you know, I hate to mention anyone, but Youth for Christ and Young Life, the Navigators and Crew and Prison Fellows. We're going to link together with them, and we're going to link together with marketplace leaders, and that's what we might call a three-legged stool of ministry and church and marketplace leaders, when we kind of say, how can we work together to change the spiritual and social climate of the city? It really does have an impact.
We'll talk more about the impact of cities and particularly of gospel movements on the city and on our world. We want to impact the world for Christ. What does that look like? Well, it may very well start in the city, maybe a city like New York City. And we're getting perspective today from Craig Sider, who's president of the New York City Leadership Center. And they are the hosts of Movement Day. It's become an annual event over the last few years. I'm not quite sure how many years it's been on, but they have hundreds and thousands that participate in some of the events around this. And we'll talk a little bit more about that and more about how we can maybe change our view of what it looks like to be a missionary in the city, or why it's so important that we not be like Jonah and don't care about this great city. We'll get to that and more with Craig Sider coming up in a moment here on Connecting Faith. By the way, if you'd like to join our conversation, our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. Movement Day. It's a significant event that is seeking to cultivate gospel movements in cities across the globe. And it's going on in New York City, actually, next week on the 23rd. But along with that, there are several associated activities, Global Strategy Conference and a number of different events. Craig Sider is president of the New York City Leadership Center, the host of Movement Day. And Craig has a background in business and also as a church planter and seminar presenter, and he's talking to us today from New York City. We're talking about churches and particularly life in urban areas. And I'm interested, Craig, and by the way, our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. If you want to talk about urban ministry today, about leadership, about influencing and changing the world and culture, you're welcome to join us at 877-93-FAITH. Craig, I'm interested, does the gospel sort of live differently in a large city? I mean, it seems like as you talked about, and I grew up in a rural farm community. You grew up in a rural environment, so you know, does it take an urban leader to really understand urban ministry?
That is That's a significant question because you're right. I have lived in both worlds. I think there's a couple of factors, but I would say the gospel is the gospel. You know, the gospel is good news. And again, I was with this pastor of a larger church here in the city just a few minutes ago, and he said the gospel is the gospel. But I think some characteristics of the city are the speed of the city. You know, someone said one of the great poverties in New York City is just time poverty. The time it takes to get to work, to get out of work, and the speed and the milieu that goes on all around you. And so if someone who understands that in a unique kind of way appreciates that and says, this is the reality. I grew up in a rural church, and it just moves so much faster in the city. And I would say in a city, Neil, to your point, you just have to address the raw needs of people in the city to gain a hearing. You can't ignore the raw realities of people around you, the marginalized, the poor, and really gain a hearing in the city. And that is just so significant. The city ministry is caring for the people who are in your city. Now, that's true, you know, wherever our church is located, but it especially is true, I would say, in the city.
Just because of the massive population, I guess. I mean, it's not like these needs are hidden probably so much in the city, right? They're clearly evident.
No, that's true. And there's a great book called Why Cities Matter, which really speaks to a lot of this. But the poor are in the cities because the poor can survive in the cities. You know, there's a large homeless population in most U.S. cities. Well, it's there that they often have shelter, there that they can find attention, there that they can be cared for. So cities in some way are an attractor. They aren't necessarily the creator. They're the attractor of the poor because the poor can survive there. And then we as churches have an obligation to serve them in the name of Jesus.
And, of course, that, as you said right at the outset, what, 5 million every 30 days are moving to a major urban area, right, or coalescing around something to form a major city, right?
Oh, they really are. It's a massive migration to cities all around the world. Absolutely.
And is that because of jobs? Is it the economics that's driving it, or what? Is it the possibility of, as you say, they can survive as where they can't in a rural or urban a suburban area?
I think I could answer yes and yes and yes to your questions. It is because of jobs. Major cities are the economic engine for a lot of what takes place in a country. And again, in no way do I mean to diminish those who are in settings where I grew up who feed the world. But cities often are the economic engine, and they're a job creation place. And so, you know, just like I'll go back to what I said earlier, like all of my nephews and nieces and my children all live in cities, even though I grew up on a farm, because that's where their jobs are. That's what attracts them. And a younger generation is drawn to that speed of a city. And so increasingly, they become younger places as well.
So does the gospel speak well to the economic engines that drive the city? I mean, is the message different maybe in an urban center like New York City or, you know, Tokyo or wherever it might be compared to, a more rural setting?
I think the gospel speaks well to it. I'm not sure it's always well heard. You know, in New York City, you have Wall Street, which is this place that's known for its focus on money. And my goodness, there's movies made about it. And yet the day after Movement Day, and you referenced Movement Day, Neil, the day after Movement Day, we have a 100 or so marketplace leaders coming together who are believers who are really asking the question, how can God use our position in the marketplace to really make a difference for his kingdom in the city? So the gospel certainly speaks to it. I wouldn't say a city always wants to hear it, but I think God uniquely places marketplace leaders, whether they're 25 or 55, in a city to really be a catalyst for advancing the kingdom in the city. I think it's a phenomenal place to do ministry. It's not always easy, but I've never really found a place that's easy to do ministry. but I think it has phenomenal kingdom impact in the city.
You said not necessarily well heard. Is there a way that the message can become more, I don't know if the word is relevant, but are we not effectively communicating in a language that the world understands, particularly in a big city?
I think we need to speak truthfully, and we need to address the realities that men and women face who live in the city, and truthfully, who live anywhere. I have children all in their 20s, and occasionally they will say, "Dad, why doesn't the church speak to these realities? Everywhere else in life speaks to them." And so I think it's really a call for us in the cities, if we're doing ministry in the city, and particularly in the church in the city, to speak truthfully to men and women. And we do it kind of wrapped in love, but we simply can't use cliches and statements that we learned when we were kids. We have to speak to the realities that men and women face in the crush of the city. And I think the gospel absolutely does speak to those, but we have to be willing to speak candidly to people. And again, wrap all of that in love. And that takes an adjustment where we grow up in a culture like I did, where everybody kind of had this Christian context, and that's not the truth in the city. And so in the cities, we need to speak more apologetically at times and truthfully to where people are at.
Well, if you only have, as you said, only sort of 3% of the population like New York City have a faith walk, I mean, that means 97% probably don't. I mean, it's not even on their radar, is it?
No, you're right. Now, let me just clarify that 3% was Manhattan.
Okay.
And the percentage is higher in the four other boroughs, being the Bronx and Brooklyn and Queens and Staten Island. But in Manhattan particularly, that's true. It's not the loudest voice, and it's not the voice of culture. It is a smaller voice, but, you know, that's often true of the gospel, and yet it has poignancy and truth on its side. So, it isn't the prevalent voice in Manhattan.
Craig Sider is my guest today. He's president of the New York City Leadership Center. Maybe just we've got a couple minutes here before we take a break, but just say a word about maybe the website and the Movement Day, and we'll talk a little bit more about it on the other side of the break, too. But if people want to find out a little bit more about the Movement Day itself and some of what goes on there, tell us a bit where to find info.
Sure. You can poke around our website, movementday.com. Movementday.com really kind of gives a picture of what's happening. And as you said at the outset, Movement Day is on Thursday the 23rd of October. There are many events kind of spread across that week, but that is where 1,500 leaders, and again, we can talk about this, come together. I think last year, Neil, from 330 countries and five continents, as this giant learning community for what does it mean to change the spiritual or impact the spiritual and social climate of a city. And that's really the focus of that day.
What a talk about caring for the city. If you remember the story of Jonah, you know that there was that important line there. It said, God said, should I not be concerned about this great city? We'll talk more about why we should be concerned about the city and maybe what it means to be an urban missionary, what that looks like today. And should we be sending people out in three-piece suits on Wall Street to do ministry in a high-rise? We'll get some perspective from Craig Sider on that. Craig's president of the New York City Leadership Center. Also talk about the prayer movements and the impact that they have as well. You're welcome to join the conversation if you have a question or comment. As we talk about urban ministry today, influencing the world through the cities, 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. We'll continue in just a moment. That's a significant event going on in New York City next week as church leaders from perhaps the 300 major cities around the globe gather to talk about how they can create in advance movements, gospel movements, and not only impact their cities, but through that impact the world. We're talking with Craig Sider, president of the New York City Leadership Center. Craig enjoys helping people, leaders, and organizations pursue more intentional lives, specializes at calling and equipping leaders and organizations to cut through the distractions and focus on the primary tasks of effective leadership. Craig has been a church planter, business leader, and seminar presenter, and he's serving as president of the New York City Leadership Center, getting some perspective today on Movement Day and big cities. And Craig, I am interested in just, you know, if multi-ethnic church groups are growing and thriving in the cities, and, you know, if there are some keys to make, you know, ministry work better in the city that maybe we wouldn't normally think otherwise.
That's a really good observation. I think, as I said a bit ago, there's five boroughs in New York City. And the other boroughs outside of Manhattan are really entree points for immigrants. And many times immigrants come with a strong faith in Christ. And so really the Christian population in the four boroughs outside of Manhattan is stronger than in Manhattan. And a lot of that is because of recent immigrants to the United States who come and establish churches and reach people for Christ. And I think that's true in many cities. We're also active. We have Movement Day in Dallas that began in January, and they're having their second one this coming January. And Dallas is a major city for refugees. And many times those refugees come with a faith in Christ and establish churches to reach folks like them or others in the community. So certainly multi-ethnic churches are very strong in New York City.
It does speak to the need for leadership, though, right? I mean, to provide the kind of, well, I guess maybe training and equipping and encouraging, and maybe to even build that collaborative spirit. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, for someone to sort of start their own thing, their own ministry, and just kind of be protecting their turf, if you will.
We have a church here in New York, many churches in New York, who do Bible training schools for those who are in the city in ministry who have no Bible training. And we at New York City Leadership Center, and we're the sponsor behind Movement Day, we run a Leadership Fellows program, which is for church leaders and not-for-profit leaders of faith who say, well, we understand Scripture. We really struggle with leading people. And so our focus in Leadership Fellows is really around helping them on the leadership side. They would say not so much behind the pulpit, but behind the desk. And so collectively, we work in and around the city to help foster more accurate biblical teaching for those who are teaching and better leadership for those who are leading. Really, it's a both and, yeah.
So are there some key elements to leadership? I mean, that missing elements that need to be shored up, or where most people maybe fall short in this area?
We could spend a whole hour on that conversation, and to me it would be fascinating. You know, I really think so. It's amazing to me how the corporate world catches up with what it is to be a follower of Jesus, but certainly one of them is really valuing and loving people. And that's true both in the corporate world, I believe, and it's also true in the body of Christ. So if I really value people and I say that's the most valuable asset we have, then it's really helping our leaders work with that. I like to say my definition of leadership is helping a group of people accomplish a God-given task in a way that brings out the God potential in every person. So it's not just about hitting an objective. It's about helping every person who's a part of that team or group or ministry or church become all that God has designed them to be. It's helping us win, and it's helping you win as a follower of Jesus. And that's as significant in the city as it is in the suburbs, as it is in rural settings.
Talking today with Craig Sider, president of the New York City Leadership Center, talking about leadership, about influence, about gospel movements in the city. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. Or you can connect with us online at myfaithradio.com and then go to the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. Linda called in, asked a question, said, wants to know why Catholics aren't mentioned ever when we talk about groups coming together. So they may be one of the biggest change agents. Just say a word about that in terms of maybe your work in collaboration. Are there cross-denominational lines going on in the city?
That's such a good observation that she gives. You know, I like to say when God looks at a city, how many churches does he see? I think he only sees one. He sees one body. And certainly there have been struggles over the years in major cities, and tension, I would even say at times, between Catholic Church and Protestant Church and evangelicals. I think there's this growing awareness in cities, and certainly there is, Neil, in New York City, of how can Catholics and evangelicals really link arms together if, in fact, God does see one body of Christ in a city. And so those conversations are beginning. They don't happen quickly, but I would certainly say they're growing in strength. Some cities maybe reflect that even more strongly than New York does at this point, but that conversation is certainly gaining strength in New York City as well.
How about other religious influences maybe impacting the marketplace in cities? If a city like, a borough like Manhattan doesn't have a lot of Christian influence, there still may be some religious influence in one form or another. What's happening there maybe in terms of spirituality and interest in spiritual things?
New York City, probably like most every major city, has every kind of religious influence in it. Certainly secular humanism is a very strong one that exists in the city, but you could name almost any world religion and they would find expression in a city like New York, which has a population of around 8 million. So it is here in Manhattan and it's in the boroughs. And so when I say that as the gospel of Jesus, we need to speak the truth, we do need to speak the truth. Because there are many voices in our culture that speak different kind of expressions of religion. And we have to find our voice. And because we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we declare it with truth. But we declare it in an understanding. There's every religious expression finds itself in the city.
What are you talking
and
about?
I would say probably the greatest is humanism.
Hmm. You talk about finding a voice. Is it a matter of just getting access? I mean, Christians have something to say, but no one's interested in hearing, perhaps, or that they have to, I mean, think in terms of maybe the gatekeepers, if it's media or arts or, government or some things where there may not be an opportunity to actually speak. What about access and maybe some of these other areas of having some influence there?
I think it's a significant question, and that's why we need followers of Jesus in every sector of society. Rodney Stark wrote about the rise of Christianity ever since it began, and he said when it grew the most, and I don't think he wrote this as a follower of Christ, when it grew the most was when the body of Christ, wherever it found itself, served sacrificially. And people were so impacted that they joined the movement. Tim Keller, who pastors here in New York City, says, you know, it used to be 20 years ago, a city saw the church as irrelevant. Now they see the church as dangerous almost because it speaks such a unique truth. And he says the antidote to that is visible signs of justice and mercy. When the church leads with justice and mercy in a city, it gains a voice, not by speaking, but by acting. That doesn't mean we shouldn't speak. But that really is the voice that is heard very significantly in our culture.
What does that look like, maybe? Is there a boilerplate, a template? I mean, maybe you can talk about what Tim Keller's doing in Manhattan, but that probably wouldn't be the same in, Brooklyn or one of the other boroughs or in a city near us. So, how do we maybe move from irrelevant to dangerous? And is there some foundation points there?
Yeah, well, I think that's a good question. I think most of us really don't know our cities. We use the language of stubborn facts. We don't really know the stubborn facts of our cities and what our cities really wrestle with. And so I think the first part of that is awareness to the raw realities of our city or our neighborhood or where our church is located. And then saying, in the name of Jesus, how do we address those realities in our culture? So it's not so much a boilerplate of you need to do this. It's saying, open your eyes and look at the harvest, as Jesus said. So you open your eyes to the realities around you. You name them. You begin to pray around them. And then you begin to say, we have a responsibility as the body of Christ to act. So how do we physically and tangibly address these raw needs around us? May I give an example from Dallas? It became aware in Dallas because we also helped facilitate Movement Day there, as they found that in South Dallas, 97% of children were from single-parent homes, 97%. And that when you saw the third-grade reading score of a child, it was the greatest indicator of whether that child would land in prison or not. So they called South Dallas the conception-to-prison pipeline. So one of the most significant things the church could do was mentor third graders in reading and be the body of Christ to them. So it's really assessing your city, whether it's the Twin Cities or New York City or Toronto where I was or Dallas, and saying, now that we know these realities, how do we as the body of Christ respond? We have a responsibility to respond. If any group does, the body of Christ does.
And is it a matter of sort of picking one thing? So here's my local church congregation. This is the one thing that we'll do. We'll take on, foster kids, or we'll take on, illiteracy, or whatever it might be.
That's a good point. I have a friend who pastors in Denver, and he said, we called our church to take 10% of all the foster children in Denver. Our three site churches will be responsible for 10% of all the foster children in Denver. And so that was the passion that God laid on their heart. And I think it's really discerning as a congregation, what gifts and skills and abilities do you have in your congregation? How does that match a particular need? And then match those two together. And you're right, Neil, it'll be different for different churches. And that's why collaboration is needed. We really need each other in the body of Christ to be able to impact a town or a city for Christ.
And that collaboration needs to probably break down a lot of barriers, doesn't it? I mean, we just, as much as we say we want to do that, I mean, it doesn't always work so well in practice.
I was a denominational leader for 12 years, and I love my tribe. I really do. And I say, as in moving to New York City from central Pennsylvania, I have two appreciations. One is for my tribe, and the other is for the breadth of the body of Christ. We really do need each other to impact the city for Christ. You know, what is so important to us, and I understand why they are in our different expressions of faith in following Jesus, often the world looks on it and says, well, they can't figure out a way to collaborate together, so why should we really pay attention? And I think when we kind of rise above that and collaborate together, it speaks with a very powerful voice as we meet the needs of people and speak the gospel of Jesus.
Talking to Craig Sider today, president of the New York City Leadership Center. They are hosting Movement Day, which is an annual event that brings in hundreds of thousands of people all across the globe actually come to learn about how they can be a part of a gospel movement in their city, in their neighborhood. And we'll talk more with Craig in just a moment. Craig, president of the New York City Leadership Center. It's a Christian organization that serves as a change agent for leadership and collaboration across metro New York City. And you're invited to join the conversation, too. If you'd like a comment or question, it's 877-933-2484. More in a moment. Talking about Movement Day, it's an opportunity to provide some collaboration among Christian leaders to address today's urban issues. And the History and Theory of Missions tells us that whole cities or cultures can be reached with the gospel. Reach doesn't mean that everyone becomes a Christian, but that a tipping point can be achieved where Christianity becomes to have a disproportionate effect on the population's values and beliefs. And I guess that's, Craig Sider, by the way, president of the New York City Leadership Center, and we'd like to believe that can happen. And in fact, it has happened, right? You just mentioned it was 150 years ago in New York City, but it's happening in other places around the world as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Many cities around the world are experiencing just a refresh renewal of God at work in their cities, and many in the southern half of the globe.
Talk about the prayer movement, because I know that's been a sort of a key part of your ministry there in New York City, and that concerts of prayer, united prayer gatherings, are still an important strategic part of advancing God's kingdom.
They are. Mac Pierre, who is the founder of New York City Leadership Center, prior to that was the founder of Concerts of Prayer Greater New York City. We've really grown out of that prayer movement here in New York City. And I think it was 20 years ago or so, Neil, that Mac and some others kind of called pastors to pray, and they expected maybe 15 or 20 pastors to come and churches to come, and 70 came. And that really kind of said there was this hunger for praying together as the body of Christ. We talk about the Samaria factor, where people in a city, body of Christ in a city, is geographically close, but they're relationally distant. So they somewhat acknowledge one another, but they never really get together. And when the body of Christ comes together across a city and begins to pray for their city, it's really powerful. So Concerts of Prayer Greater New York City really does that across Metro New York. They have a pastor's prayer summit every year for 3 days where pastors and church leaders come together. I think last year, 350 individuals come together to talk about prayer and to pray. They facilitate Pray New York, which happens every June, and we pray across all zip codes in Metro New York. We do our best to pray across all zip codes in Metro New York. And they have a monthly newsletter called The Lord's Watch, which talks about where prayer is happening across the city. And so when a city begins to pray collaboratively, that in our sense, from what we've seen, is really the base for what God wants to do as we begin to act collaboratively in the city. It's the foundation piece, really, for it.
What does it look like for us to join in praying for a city like New York, or Chicago, Dallas, or L.A., or any other major city around the globe? And what kinds of things should we be praying for?
I think we should be praying for the needs of our city, because God really does care about the needs of our city. He cares about poverty. He cares about marginalized. He cares about people whose hearts are not inclined toward Him, who haven't discovered and been captured by His love. So we pray for those things, and we pray for each other. I was in a Bible listening event one morning where we just listened to scripture, and I was across from a guy who came to faith in New York City, a Jewish fellow who came to faith 25 years ago through Concerts of Prayer. And he said, people say the city really changed when Giuliani was mayor. He said, well, we believe the city really changed when we began to pray. And God can use whatever He wants to use to make the city change, but we believe it's when we started to pray collaboratively that the city really began to be reshaped. So prayer is just the basis point.
Say a word about that wonderful prophet Jonah, who wasn't really interested in the city of Nineveh, and of course the final line from that account, God's asking Jonah, shouldn't I be concerned about this great city? I mean, that's probably, closer to many of our feelings, our thoughts, right? I mean, deep down, if we're honest, we say, well, we don't really care.
Yeah, and maybe it's a fine line, Neil. Maybe we're just indifferent to it. And maybe that's the same as not caring. I was talking with a business guy who sells product all across the U.S. And I said, how much do you sell in New York? And he told me the percentage, which is quite high. And I said, well, you really have a responsibility to that city. And so I think those of us who derive, even if we live in a farm, because these population centers are so huge, that's often where our product goes. So major cities are economic engines. And I think God calls us then to minister back to those cities. Tim Keller was speaking to a group that we had gathered one not a large group, maybe 25 people. And there were people there from northern New Jersey and southern Connecticut. And they said, do we have a responsibility into New York City? And he said, well, you are New York City. The reason why you're living where you do and you're at this meeting tonight is because of the engine of New York City. So he was saying, you know, they are significant pieces for our country. And then we really have a responsibility to carry the gospel into the city. That's the place of impact. So I think the call on young people's lives today is to really say, how does God want to use you as a man or a woman, even going into the marketplace, to be his light in the heart of the city?
Probably looks different to be sending support letters out, though, if we're working on Wall Street or something and wearing three-piece suits and nice shoes, or living in a high rise, or, you know, does it have to be down in the, kind of in the soup kitchen to really, you know, be ministering effectively?
That's a great question. I think for marketplace leaders, their most significant place of ministry is in the marketplace. I was talking with a guy from Portland yesterday who's a marketplace guy, and we said, you know, many times we view marketplace leaders as they go work in the marketplace, they make money, and then they just bring it back to the church. Well, you and I both know it's significant for us to give back through the local body of Christ. It's very, very significant. But God has men and women in the marketplace as their place of ministry. So Bob Dahl, who's on our board at the New York City Leadership Center and is just a significant voice in the market here in New York City, says, oh, if God calls you into the marketplace, serve with excellence, serve with integrity. You can say that's a primary place of ministry for you, right there where God has you in the marketplace. And yes, be involved in the local church, and yes, be involved in the soup kitchen, but rub shoulders with those that you work with. Right in the heart of the city, and be salt and light and voice to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, you know, my call is to young people to move to the city and be the message of Jesus right in the city where he has you placed.
Is there one sector that maybe is having God seems to be particularly moving, or maybe one sector, whether it's, you know, arts, media, or business, or government, where there's a desperate need, where someone, you know, thinking strategically, say, this is an area I should focus on?
I think I would say, Neil, every sector is really important, and it really matches with what your passion is. One of my sons is an artist, and so art is the way, and in the art community is the place that his voice is going to be heard, because that's where his gifting and his passion is. For others, it's in the not-for-profit world. They want to work in the not-for-profit world of the city. For some, it's in Wall Street. For some, it's in entertainment. We have a colleague who leads prayer ministry among Broadway actors and producers. And I'll go to a Broadway show, and I'll see in the credits under a name, under a person's name, a verse of scripture. And, you know, and he's saying, this actor is saying, I want to be light for Christ on Broadway. So I think it's whatever passion and abilities and gifts that God has given to you, can you see God using them in the city to advance his purposes?
And again, the bottom line, wherever we are, wherever God has placed us to be a voice, right? To let our voice be heard.
Right.
Craig, say a word again just before our time has gone, a little bit about movementday.com and just some of what's going on, and maybe how we can pray for you and the team as you prepare for this significant event.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate you praying for us, because, you know, our intent was just to do Movement Day in New York City because God had laid it on our hearts. And Dallas has birthed out of that. And there's conversation with four or five cities in North America and even globally about how can we be of any help to them in fostering this kind of Movement Day activity. Next Thursday is a significant day for us, the 23rd, because, again, over 300 cities will be represented from at least five different continents, Neil, about how do we work together in a city to catalyze leaders to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I invite you to visit our site at movementday.com. Pray for us, and then also pray for your city where God has you located, or the city nearest you, and say, how can the body of Christ collaborate together, marketplace leaders, ministry leaders, church leaders, to really impact the spiritual and social climate of your city? We would just love to see that happen in cities all across North America and around the world.
Greg Sider, president of the New York City Leadership Center, and they're the sponsors of Movement Day. You can check it out online, movementday.com. Craig, thanks for the great discussion today, and blessings to you, and in particular this key week.
Thank you, Neil. Really, my privilege to be with you. Bless you.